There's little doubt that poverty can stifle children's growth in many respects. New research from the University of Georgia shows a clear link between poverty and brain development in children. But here's the thing. That study also shows that there are certain programs that are aimed at improving parenting and family relationships that can actually curb those negative effects on kids' brains. Joining me to talk about these findings is lead researcher Gene Brody, professor of child and brain sciences at UGA. Hi, Gene.
Hi, good morning.
And also with me from St. Louis is Deanna Bartsch, professor of psychological and brain sciences at Washington University. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, good morning.
Deanna, let me begin with you so that we can figure out what's new in this study. Can you tell me what exactly changes in a kid's brain because they're living in poverty?
Well, there are actually quite a number of different things that change in kids' brains when they live in poverty. One thing is that there are changes in the structure and function of different parts of the brain that are important for things like emotion processing and responding to stress. So parts of the brain like the hippocampus and the amygdala, which are really critical for those functions. There's probably also other changes that are happening in children's brains related to things like immune function and, different aspects of how the brain is connected up together.
How much is that related to things like poor nutrition or maybe bad environment with perhaps lead paint or even things like not getting the proper vaccination and medical care?
That's a great question, and I think we really don't know yet exactly what parts are due to nutrition, exposure to toxins like lead, a lack of health care, or even the increased stress that children may experience living in poverty. So all of those likely have some contribution, and we haven't yet really teased apart exactly what parts of the changes in brain development are due to which of those.
So, Gene, that makes your job more difficult, right? How, if you're studying the effects of poverty on a kid's brain, and specifically how to counteract those effects, how do you control for all these different things that could be going on in an individual kid's life?
Well, not all children and adolescents who grow up in poverty experience adverse outcomes. And some young people and adolescents who receive supportive parenting develop resilience to the consequences of poverty, as researchers at Washington University have shown. And we're expanding these findings using a controlled trial of a prevention program, meaning that some people are randomly assigned to receive the prevention program while others aren't. And that makes people, the results of the study, less likely to be due to characteristics of the persons or their background.
So, and for this, the purposes of these studies, you're using the poverty level, the federally established poverty level, to decide who's in poverty and who is not, Gene?
Yes, we are. And in addition, what we did is we didn't just use a snapshot of poverty at one point in time. We looked at the number of years that adolescents lived in poverty from age 11 to age 18.
Okay, so what exactly are these programs that, so I guess they're described as boosting parenting? What does that mean?
Sure. Well, when kids were age 11, they participated in a prevention program called the Strong African American Families Program, which enhances supportive parenting and strengthens family relationships. And
wait, so let me stop you there. When you say enhances parenting and strengthens family relationships, what does that actually look like specifically? What does that mean?
Well, what it means is it increases parents' involvement in kids' lives, both at home and at school. It increases communication. It increases consistent disciplinary practices in the home. And it increases kind of the consistency or family routines in the home environment.
So this is intriguing research, I'd imagine, for you, Deanna. What does this mean going forward? What other questions would you have in terms of how the amount of time you spend with a parent or a family environment might actually have changes that you can track inside a brain?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really important result because they actually were able to show that if you randomly assign families to this intervention, you can actually see, less of a negative effect of poverty on brain development. And I think the important next steps are to understand, well, what are really the active ingredients of these kinds of interventions? Is it the fact that parents are doing more monitoring of their children, so they're less likely then to engage in behaviors that might have negative effects on the brain, substance use or other sorts of things? Does it have to do with providing the children with better mechanisms for reducing their stress response, controlling their emotions? So there's likely to be a number of different kind of active ingredients in these interventions. And I think our next key steps are figuring out what are the really most important ones. And can we enhance, the intervention even further to really optimize those active ingredients?
That's Deanna Bartsch. She's teaches in the Psychological and Brain Sciences Department at Washington University. And I'm also speaking with UGA Professor Gene Brody. His recent study shows programs that boost parenting can help fight the negative effects of poverty on child brain development. Gene, how long does someone need to stay in the program? Or is this the kind of thing where you need to train families and parents how to do this and it needs to be sustained throughout their adolescence?
Well, that's a great question. The program itself involves 14 hours of participation by children and parents. This occurred when they were 11 years old.
14 hours total, not like
total,
per week.
Total.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so 14 hours total. This occurred when the youth were 11 years old. We're still following them, and they're 26 now. And when they were 25, they went into a scanner. We got MRI scans of their brains and looked at areas of the brains that promote learning, memory, and stress tolerance, and found 14 years later that there were differences in the brain volumes or brain development that supported these important functions for young adults. And interestingly, along the way, from ages 11 to 14, we have found that this program not only reduces drug use and conduct problems, but when we drew blood from them along the way, youth who participated in the Strong African American Families program had lower levels of stress hormones circulating in their bodies. They had lower levels of inflammation. And so it made sense to us that we also might see differences in their brain development.
Deanna, I have so many questions about this.
As do we all.
Yeah, we do.
How do you even begin to track? I mean, those are amazing results. So how do you begin to track what actually causes that? What leads to lower drug use? Which part of that, with only 14 hours of training, how does that suddenly end up in better immune systems and all of the other things that Gene just listed off? Where do you begin?
Well, I think that, part of the important part to begin is going to be to go in and look at maybe different interventions that target different specific aspects of what he's done to try to see, okay, well, if we do something that's specifically focused on reducing stress responsivity, is that really the active ingredient? If we look at, interventions that really focus on parents controlling, monitoring children and, making sure that they're not engaged in, substance use or other behaviors, can we then see whether that's the active ingredient? And I would also argue that we may want to even look at pushing these interventions earlier in life. I mean, they did this in the early teen years, which is obviously a really critical time for child development. But our own research has shown that you can see these effects even much earlier. And you can imagine that if you can sort of enhance parenting and family interactions and promote healthy child development starting even earlier, that you might see even more positive outcomes throughout the life of these children.
Gene, how much of this, and do you know whether some of this also had positive effects on the family as well, whether there might possibly be outcomes that you could track physiologically in parents and other siblings?
That's a terrific question. We haven't looked at that, but clearly that has to be done. The whole idea that we can create more cohesive family environments means means that there's kind of an arena of comfort that may be protective against stress for all family members, but we have no idea of that right now.
And Deanna, one of the ways I would imagine this is particularly powerful is that this is a program that says we should fight poverty, but we can make poverty less disastrous for a family and for kids that grow up, right?
Right, exactly. And I think you make a key point, though. Yes, these interventions, you know, are able to help mitigate the effects of poverty, and that's extremely important. We don't want to lose sight of the fact, though, that doesn't mean we don't need to also be continuing to fight poverty and to trying to determine ways to make sure that families aren't living in poverty to start out. But you're absolutely right. In cases where we really can't change that, it looks like there are things that we could do that could really help reduce those negative effects of poverty on children and help reduce the cycle of poverty.
And Jean, in the minute that we have left, what is your next study question? What is the next thing you want to isolate in order to move forward?
Well, moving forward, we're really looking at how enhancing family relationships can deter some of the health disparities that so many of the participants in our trial show. They are representative of the Black Belt that stretches from North Carolina, South Carolina, through Louisiana, and more than half of children growing up in this part of our nation grow up in the context of economic hardship. So we're really taking a look at the health benefits of programs like SAFE and other health and other programs that hopefully will have the potential to ameliorate some of the negative effects of poverty on health.
That's Gene Brody. He studies child and family development at the University of Georgia. He led this study that shows programs that bolster good parenting in families can curb the negative effects of poverty on the brain in kids. Also, Deanna Bartsch, professor of psychological and brain sciences at Washington University. Deanna and Gene, thank you both so much.
Sure.
Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye.